should we start the show?
Okay.
Welcome to This Is Only a Test. This is episode 29, recorded September 22, 2010. I'm Will Smith. Joining me today, the ineffable, inestimable, in something, somethingable, using his iPad, Norman Chan.
iPad.
I heard a phone.
That might have been me.
There's
Sorry.
A phone tingling in the background. I'm moving all my phone's not in here. So it's not me. Also, how you doing, Norm?
I'm doing okay.
You're not really talking
tired.
To the microphone. Well, we'll talk about that in a sec. Also, in the house, I'm crisscrossing the table now as if I were locking down a spare tire. Ana Herca Robles.
Hello.
And to quell any concerns that Ana
rumors, conspiracy theories.
And Gary are the same person, also here doing her very best. Gary, oh no, Gary's here too. Say hi, Gary. I was going to get Ana to do a Gary impersonation, and then I decided it was a
bad
idea.
Yeah, it was a good effort. I appreciate that. Yeah. I didn't even know this was
even... You just confuse people even more.
Yeah.
Ana's
I didn't even know
really
this was a. This was actually a thing that people... There was a conspiracy going on that we were like Clark Kent and Superman.
Well because you guys have never appeared. Is that how it worked?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, but because you guys were never on the show at the same time, there was some talk that perhaps you might be the same person just doing voices. That perhaps Gary Whitta was really just Ana doing an English voice.
Well, who was the
Dude
Tyler Durst?
Our
and
listeners
who was the Ed
are
Norton
idiots.
In that scenario.
I don't,
did they think that who was?
I don't think they thought one of you was imaginary. I thought it was a Clark Kent Superman, not a Tyler Durden slash.
It could just simply be a master of voices and accents,
right? Maybe
so you're
Rich
all
Little
Dana Carvey.
It's all Norm, actually.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
Norm's like the Billy West of
Inception.
The Tested
yeah, exactly.
Podcast.
Yes. You're the Mel Blanc.
So how's everybody doing today?
Pretty good. Hey, right. This podcast is being brought to you in HD vision, though it may not be much use to our listeners.
Yes, that's just because you're wearing the HD vision glasses.
I am enjoying these HD vision glasses that I found on the table as I came in today.
Do I look jaundiced right now?
Yeah, you look a little peaky.
I feel like my liver might not be working up to its full potential.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how, I guess, by somehow diffusing the light or whatever it makes, gives things the illusion of looking sharper than they really are, but the price you pay for that is it looks like one of the tubes in your TV blue, and you're not getting you're getting is the yellow channel.
Especially when we're in a white room, and all you see is the yellow.
Everything is yellow.
I love the canary paint on the walls in this room, though. It's a lovely color. This room's very bright, and it's already getting warm,
That's
I'm noticing.
True.
So
perfect for the mid-autumn.
Exactly.
The moon.
Have you guys noticed that? I feel like we're going to get a little Prairie Home Companion here for a minute, but there's an autumnal chill in the air here in San Francisco these days. I had to close the window in my bathroom when I took a shower this morning.
I'm pleased about it.
You're pro fall?
Well, I like the chilly. I like the holiday season. The sign of the very first spirit store opening up. I feel a holiday festivity is upon me. Because, Halloween leads into Thanksgiving, leads into Christmas, and that's the best time of the year.
Leads into new iPad in the spring.
New iPad
absolutely.
In March, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Way to pull it back on topic, Norm.
Yeah.
So right now, Minecraft fever sweeping the nation, most specifically our office. Not so much the Giant Bomb side, but totally on the Tested
side.
Actually,
did you know that the Giant Bomb fans blew up Tested server? Because Ryan tweeted on his Twitter.
I tweeted too.
Bastards. Well, no, I know that you have lots of followers, Will, but they're all cool. Ryan tweeted to his Giant Bomb hordes and completely exploded the hell out of the Tested server. But it's recovering.
Okay.
It's recovering.
It seems like it's a 4 or 5 person game, not like a 25 person game.
Yeah.
What is our temporary official server?
I don't think we should put on the podcast because I don't want to break it.
Okay.
But it's in the forums. If you want to go find it, dig around in the forums. It's in there.
It's fun.
Can we talk about what Minecraft is?
So I came in today.
Yes.
And I saw Minecraft on Norm's screen.
Four
and
computers.
I'm like, really? You too? Because... My question was, can someone just – I'm sick of hearing about it. All I'm hearing these days is Minecraft, Minecraft, Minecraft. And, I'm not – disconnected from the world of gaming. I try to keep on top of things. I haven't done a lot of research.
I've heard that you're into that.
I'm into games.
Yes.
And I keep hearing Minecraft, and I see Penny Arcade talking about it, and there's forum threads everywhere, and I come in today, and you guys are all playing it. So we talked about it a little before the show, but for my benefit, again, because a lot of it went over my head, and obviously for the listeners, let's do the Dummies Guide to Minecraft real quick.
You want me to take it?
Well, don't get high. I can do the dumb person explanation. Because
that's the one I need.
That's what I am. I specialize in that because I'm a total noob.
Underselling.
I'm a noob at it, and I've only really watched my friend play.
Anna's phone is right on the cord.
That isn't doing anything.
I just heard it again.
Really? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. All right. Anyway.
Better than your bloody Twitter going off every two minutes like last week.
Oh, I apologize.
Sticks and stones.
I can't help it that people wanted to talk to me, man. You know, I'm just saying. Okay, yeah. Minecraft is.
All right, here's my Minecraft.
Two sentences.
In two sentences, it is SimCity meets Doom graphics.
Are you doing this Hollywood style for Gary?
Yeah, why not, right? We're all from California here.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Blade Runner meets Driving Miss Daisy. With robots.
Dude, I would totally watch that.
I would totally watch
it. I
may have just hit the mother load.
I think you just described Automata.
See? I'm a genius.
There
I'm not trying.
You're going over all territory.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the Driving Miss Daisy part.
There's a robot butler in there somewhere, I'm sure.
There's got to be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
sorry, let's go back to Minecraft.
Here's what it really is. It's Sim. Like, do you guys remember way back in the day?
More than two sentences.
Oh, no. This is an aside. Do you guys remember back in the day when there were like chat rooms where you had like little pixelated avatars and that was the new thing? It was still just a chat room.
I remember the palace. Is that what?
Yes.
Yeah, that was one of them.
You had little smiley faces and little speech bubbles popped up when you typed something in. Okay.
And like MTV had one too. And it was all very new and hip, but also it was dumb. It was just
It was kind of like a mud, but prettied up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it looks like that and it functions like that, at least as far as the chat goes. But you can also make little buildings. And that's about it.
Okay, so it is. Okay, here it is. It is a single player or online world, much like Second Life, with Gary's World style crafting.
Gary's Mod
style crafting in the aesthetic of 8-bit and Lego, but with a narrative undertone that you discover as you play the game.
That was complicated thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, this
in my
seems
life
to be a game that just defies description because that was awful.
No, dude, well, here it is.
That's what
I
it
said
is.
Was right.
No, I mean, I get it. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying I've yet to hear anyone give a really concise.
I got it.
It's Lego.
Will's going to take a stab at it.
Yeah, it is Lego.
Block based building plus zombies.
See,
also, you can
dig. But the zombies are really beside the point.
Immediate to zombies, which is bad.
On the tested server, zombies aren't even a
collaborative virtual Legos.
That's
collaborative virtual Legos.
But with optional zombies.
If you want.
Zombies, that's the narrative stuff that you can
That's what makes a single player work. Because you have to have a force to make you want to build, and you build to keep the zombies.
Because when I asked you to give me the one line earlier, the first thing you said was survival horror. So you made it sound like that was the big
feature. I knew you were into survival horror.
Will
I was trying to get you hooked.
At the time.
And that was one of the Penny Arcade cartoons from last week, was he builds the house, like he fortifies the house against the zombies during the day.
Anyone. That's something that the player has.
I thought it was like a pastoral thing where you could just hang out and have fun creating things.
Virtual Lego.
I think that's what.
Built 3,000 foot high phalluses
with multiplayer is collaborative virtual Legos, and every single thing you associate with Legos, including building phalluses and worlds, that is in there.
So like Legos? Are they just? Are they all? There are different materials, right? Lego
crafting,
is one material.
So it's crafting.
Now, what's the crafting aspect?
So the virtual world has properties, and that's where it's like Gary's Mod. You are a builder in that world. So you are – unlike Lego where you are not in your world that you build, you are an avatar in your world. And the way you build isn't with God hands but with your little person.
So you have – like the first thing you do in the game is go punch a tree until you get some sticks. And then you use the sticks to make wood, and you use the wood and some more wood to make like an axe. Or a pickaxe, and then you start mining for coal and stuff like that. So you have to, you make fire and you dig out ore, and then you smelt the ore and you can make other stuff. It's basically like a huge crafting system in a world that you can build shit.
And you have an inventory and everything.
And it can be much easier than that too. If you just show up on the game first time ever, you have a little hammer automatically. You just look down at the ground, you hit the ground a few times, boom, you have one block. And you can go and put that block somewhere else. You can do it, 50 more times and have 50 blocks to play with. Anything else is just, getting more into it, mastering the game more. But at the very root of it, it's just building with blocks.
So it's a lot of free-form experimentation and creation. And okay.
Yeah, and somebody was saying that like in order to be like pro, you need to have all these windows open and all these books with all the commands and all the formos how to make things. That's like for people like Norm who want to just come in and be like on level 40 in the first half hour. If you don't, Norm's speechless.
Norm's enjoyment comes from winning.
If I can't win at Minecraft, I don't want to play it.
Well, that's it. So, but I'm just saying part of the fun is discovering that stuff.
Apparently you get yourself out of a giant hole.
Biggest wang.
I heard a similar thing, though, that even for people that just want to jump in and just learn the basics, that they should have a couple of guides.
Here's the thing. You need to know how to make an axe. No. Right? But the thing is, once you kind of get the gist of the crafting system, like you basically arrange things in the window in the shape that you want them to be. So like if you make some sticks and some stones and there's three and it's like looks like a T, that's going to make
is there any kind of tutorial in the game?
No, it's alpha.
Have we become spoiled by these games now that have very elaborate tutorials that when we just are now dropped into a world and expected to be self-sufficient? We're like, I don't know what to do.
And I mean,
how are we going to survive the apocalypse? Well, yeah, we can't clueless. Even do it.
Can't even play a game without a tutorial.
So hold on, you're saying I had to shoot the zombies in the face. It's just one of those things. It's one of those things that like so all these games have tutorials now because they assume that I don't know cousin Aunt Edna who's never picked up a video game in her life is going to fire up Halo Reach
and nobody. Nobody reads manuals anymore.
Right. I don't need a tutorial for That's Reach, true. And I don't need manuals. You need manuals. This is a game that definitely requires some base level instruction. But there's a couple of really good YouTube videos that I was actually pointed to that are like, here's how to survive your first night in Minecraft.
Yeah, you can also ask people in the game.
Yes.
That's a big part of it.
But again, this is where I get confused. It's not entirely power. You are going to be attacked by zombies. That's the least
relaxing
thing I can imagine.
Playing.
Okay. See, again, and are you confusing me again? There's more than one version
of the game.
There's
a zombie version of the game. There's not so much zombies.
The more you explain it to me, the more confused I get.
Well, you can play a server. The tested server right now is set so nobody can die, nobody can get hurt, and nobody can kill anything. So you might see some zombies walking around, but they can't do anything to you.
Okay.
But there are servers where a kill is turned on. Those, you got to be super careful with the zombies and...
Well, you just have to make sure you're by light at night.
Well, sure, yeah.
And have a sword.
I've never even played in a world where you can be killed. So that's a whole different game that I've never even played yet.
And they have single player and multiplayer versions of the game too.
Right? Yes. But it's all sandbox.
Well, and
there is no story.
And there's
the stories in your head.
See, sandbox, that's one of the words I think we should have hit on a lot earlier. Because that sounds very sandbox.
There's a ton of, well, we said SimCity, which is a sandbox game.
I guess.
It's a sandbox with rules, but it's a first-person sandbox game.
It's a materials-based sandbox, non-linear, emergent story, story-driven.
We got
vertical. Okay, so that's 2.0. Minecraft. It's basically like Inception, but a video game.
Where do you go if you want to check it out?
Minecraft.net.
All right.
So this guy, it's still an alpha.
One
right
dude,
now.
Right?
One dude. He's making $40,000 a day.
Ooh.
Wow.
He's recently hired a second person. And
well, so this is because it's $10 to buy
€10.
So €10.
$13.
And okay. It got really popular in just the past 2 weeks. The servers went down this past weekend, so there was free
it's
play.
It's all I'm hearing about.
And he's... I think like after the free play session, he was making at a rate of $250,000 a day, just Minecraft.
The thing is, we always bitch as gamers about not like there never being anything new. Oh, look, even the people who are smart, like Ken Levine, are making fucking BioShock sequels. This is something that's new. It's different, and to me, that's like it's not individually different. Like the individual concepts aren't particularly different, but mashing them all up in this weird way and making it multiplayer accessible from such an early stage.
And 8-bit.
I mean, it works.
And it's what everyone's, because it's what everyone's talking about, it's what everyone will be playing.
It's great in this day and age how these little indie games can still break through and capture the public imagination.
Even more so.
Well, this could happen through XNA or something, couldn't it, as well?
I don't know if they could do servers like this.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Oh, well, so speaking of things everybody's playing, I heard that someone in this room was up until 4:30 last night playing Civ 5.
That would be me.
How are you feeling today, Norm?
Very tired.
Okay.
Turns out coffee doesn't keep you awake. Or no, it doesn't make you more awake. It just prevents you from sleeping.
Yeah, pretty much. You'll still get progressively more tired. You won't fall asleep.
You just can't fall asleep.
Yeah. Norm's going to be drooling here in about 5 to 10 minutes.
So Civ 5 came out. This morning.
This
or
is the
last
other
night?
Thing that I keep hearing about. Civ 5 is everywhere.
And Gary, you said, and we had this conversation a while ago, you built a computer to play PC games, and you were wondering what PC games were coming out that would be worth playing that you couldn't play on the console.
Yes, that's true. Right? And Civ 5 is obviously one of the biggest PC releases
of
the year.
I mean, aside from StarCraft, it is And it's up there.
The Civilization franchise, though, has never really liked me. I've always found it too dense and complicated. So is this the dummies guide version that I can play?
I played Civ 1 and Civ 2, and after Civ 2, I stopped because I wanted to win. I wanted to master it, right? And I couldn't master it. It's not a game you can master.
Right.
Civ Revolution came out on Xbox Live Arcade and iPhone.
It was a disc title.
It was a disc title, but it was for consoles. Very accessible.
Yeah.
This takes all the lessons from Civ Rev.
Okay.
But all the art and graphics and the layers of complexity that are behind the scenes.
You're saying the lessons that the developers learned from Civ Rev.
The lessons from Civ Rev with the actual gameplay and mechanics of original Civ, and it is a new Civ that is very, very accessible.
Okay, well, that's the key for me, because I found the earlier Civ games, like you, just too impenetrable.
So I played it. It really is almost numbing, because it's just turn-based, and really every turn you have an icon on the bottom right of the screen pops up. You need to build, here's an advisor telling you to build another city.
Are the advisors good, or are they like the SimCity advisors?
No, they're pretty good.
Like, will you win if you follow what the advisors tell you to do?
Yeah, I have a question.
On standard difficulty.
Are the advisors ever going to betray you? Like, are they ever
advisors?
After their own
game? Advisors
that's
are. That's how the game. That's
that would
tutorial.
Be super much a dick move.
Yeah,
if
the
tutorial
would not
you
that would be cool.
screw you over. No,
oh,
no. Your allies would screw you over. But the game is as deep as you want it to be.
I am always looking for the next numbing game experience.
Me too.
This could be right up my alley.
Well, you have two choices, Gary. Minecraft.
If you're looking for games that are like drugs, Civ 5 is a pretty good drug.
So you're saying this could help get Gary off the WoW needle?
Yeah, and onto the Civ needle.
Yeah. Oh, it's like it's
not an MMORPG
that helps people get off the smack.
No, that's methadone.
WoW is like crack, though. Like, where do crack users go? There's nowhere else they can go to get like whatever the next hit is. You know,
there's probably some sort of super crack out there.
Yeah, that's what you need. What is that? The Old Republic? I need super crack now.
I don't think the Old Republic is going to be super crack.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
But if it's Warcraft plus Star Wars done by a good developer, why wouldn't that be super crack?
The thing is, I'm Star Wars out at this point.
Plus, the Old Republic. Sucks.
No, you're
No. Old Republic's okay. Clone Wars sucks. Old Republic's cool.
I don't like the Old Republic. I don't like Jedis if they're not persecuted.
You think that they have to have some sort of overlying societal pressure to be interesting?
Yeah, I think by themselves they're not too interesting.
That's not a gameplay judgment.
That's
a story.
That's an extended universe.
So no, I'll get it. You can get it.
Yep.
You play it.
Yep.
I promise you, if you commit an hour and a half to it, and I can walk you through the first half hour on Skype.
Okay.
All right. Then you will love it and you'll be addicted.
Does it have a tutorial?
It does have a tutorial.
Okay. That's my number one question now.
You don't even need it.
Okay.
It's really so simple. It does come. Wait, let me think. Is it on Mac? It's got to be on Mac, right?
No, it's not on Mac.
Oh, sorry. It's not on Mac.
What?
Universal acclaim, it seems, for Civ 5 so far. Everyone seems to be loving it.
It looks amazing.
Is it Cid or is it a whole other bunch of people?
Well, it's Firaxis.
Right, but that's Cid, right?
I don't know how involved Cid is in the game. I don't think
Cid's just sitting back in his money.
Because Brian Reynolds isn't
Duck many fault.
Brian Reynolds isn't there anymore.
He's at Zynga.
Not been there for a long time.
Yeah, he's doing Farmville and stuff now.
So I mean, I don't like Civ games. I played a lot of Civ 2 in college, and I didn't like it because when I would finish at the end of the night, I would have to like make notes about what I was doing.
It really does sound like a euphemism for drugs, man. I played a lot of Civ 2 in college.
I played a lot of Civ, man.
You got to get off that Civ 2.
I've seen some fucking awful things, man. I was out sucking quarters out of turnstiles. It was rough. You even hit rock bottom until you've gone down to the subway and... sucked out a quarter.
It always worries me when Will is doing this stuff. Sooner or later he hits on something. You know he didn't make that up. He couldn't have made that up. There's a little bit of truth in there that's distressing.
Yeah, so I'm going to try Civ 5. We can play the opening steps together.
Does it have multiplayer?
It does have multiplayer.
Is it competitive or
cooperative
or what?
Or cooperative.
Oh.
And I think there's even like a turn-based by email. Like you make a turn one day, I make a turn the next day. So we can make a game last four or five years.
No, that's not the
way If I can't teabag you... It's not.
What you do in your own time is up to you, Gary.
So you know, in StarCraft, we've been playing StarCraft a lot. StarCraft, you have to worry about the micro and worry about the macro. You know, I always yell at you, never stop building.
Yes,
right. Civ 5.
You do yell at me.
Civ 5 is just
that's why I stopped playing with Norm.
It makes me so anxious to play it. Norm constantly in my ear yelling at me.
Right, I had to start
drill
drinking
instructor.
Just to
why aren't you building?
Never stop building.
Why is the SCV just sitting there? Oh. Get it moving. What's going on?
Hit I. God damn it, hit I.
Norm is a hard taskmaster.
Yeah, you tell me
about
it.
Don't make me lose, Gary. So if I'm losing, I'm not winning.
That's the problem, is when you're doing like a 2-on-2 or a 3-3 and you're on Norm's team.
He's only as good as you.
Yeah, exactly. I can totally let him down.
I know who the weakest link is.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some tech.
All right.
This week, first off, a bit of housekeeping. After many false starts, I finally have written, and Anna and I shot the Vibram review yesterday, so that is expected in the not-too-distant future.
These are the toe shoes, right?
These are the proverbial creepy toe shoes.
Okay.
Yes, I quite like them. They're weird but comfortable.
Do you think that the comfort factor ultimately outweighs the fact that people are always looking at your feet and going, dude, you feel like a bit of a weirdo wearing them?
I have kind of big feet anyway, so people have always kind of looked at and commented on my feet.
But this just accentuates really?
That. Yeah, like it was kind of a thing for a while.
If you had a big nose, you wouldn't put something on the end of it to like draw attention.
I don't know. Maybe if you were a clown, you could put one of those big red balls on there, and then people might not notice it.
Maybe
much.
That's what people do with big noses.
That's why they become
go into clowning.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would wear them outside of San Francisco. San Francisco is a very kind of live and let live kind of place.
Yeah, you like go to the Midwest, you get beat up or something.
Yeah, I mean, if I bust off the plane in Nebraska with those, I feel like I'm probably going to get lynched. So nothing against Nebraska. I'm just saying I don't think Nebraska is ready for the creepy toe shoes. But they are nice to run. Like, I have worn them running. And
oh, really? You can actually run in them?
I adjusted stride. I feel like I'm running a lot lighter, like not stomping on my feet as much. And, you know, I mean, I don't know that the science is valid. I'm not making a judgment on that, but I mean, they worked for me.
Are you going to continue to wear them now that the test phase is over?
I'll probably continue to wear them running. I haven't decided about to the office or not, because I catch a fair amount of shit around here for them at the office.
Oh, we've all gotten used to it.
That's true. No, except for Ryan and Alex.
Well, they've stopped throwing things at you, haven't they?
That's true. I haven't had any cabbage thrown at me lately.
Just stairs.
Yeah. So, okay. So, let's see. Let's talk about Anna. You've been deep into the madness that is Firefox add-ons.
Yeah, I don't really know what's
spurred
what
me. Why are you not a Chrome user?
No, I'm not a Chrome user, and you know why?
Wow.
Because Chrome is bad and does not work.
This podcast is over.
You know what? I used Chrome. And
note
like
that when Gary left the room, Anna started talking. By the way.
What do you mean? I talk all the time.
I'm just saying.
I talk all the time.
Okay, so what's your favorite extension? Give me like top three.
I like Feeder, which is like a magazine. It's like what's the thing
it's
called?
Like Reader?
Board? It's like
or Flipboard.
Yeah, it's like Flipboard, okay. But much not as good, but I still like it. It's just an RSS reader. It's nice. I love Uno. Uno has changed my life.
How do you spell it?
Y-O-O-N-O.
That is a terrible name.
A bad pronunciation of Uno, but like –
Yeah, I thought you were talking about a car. Yeah, I was like they have an Uno Firefox extension?
Like,
I will play
like
the shit
like
out of
a
that.
It's a negative version of Yoo-Hoo. It's like you know.
So it's like some sort of vanilla milk-flavored
drink? Yeah, it's a drink you don't want to drink. But what it is –
what does
is,
it do?
It's a sidebar that puts all your social networks – well, mostly just Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Flickr if you want it, YouTube if you want it, whatever else if you want it. And it just gives you a running tab of all your updates. And I'm sure there are other things.
Sounds like Flock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of stuff like this, but this was the first one I've really used, and it works like a charm.
I have homework for you.
Yeah?
Go download the Flock browser, which is a Firefox variant.
Okay.
I think they might have switched to WebKit by now, but basically it is a browser designed for social networks.
Okay.
And they launched this before Facebook and Twitter were a thing, so they've been doing it for a long time.
All right. Well, I'll check it out, and I'll do one of my patented Anna tests.
Yes.
That all comes down to one factor.
Okay.
What's better?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
yeah, anyway, that's – you know is really the
– Hold on. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Explain.
Yes, you do. You do. But it's
– What?
Everybody go to my blog. I tested two energy drinks.
Oh, yes.
And I brought it all down to one factor. It's pretty efficient. You should all check it out.
Yes. The winner was Red Bull.
The winner was Red Bull. Sugar-free Red Bull.
I like sugar-free Red
Bull
as well.
Better than Rockstar.
Rockstar is bad. Okay, so what's the number three?
Number
one, depending on which order we were counting?
Well, you know, Yammer is pretty great if you use Yammer, a little Yammer.
We use a Yammer here. It's important.
I like Yammer because the updater goes
communications.
Makes a little yam sound every time you get a...
What is a yam sound like?
It goes like this. Yam.
So it sounds like a kitty cat meowing yam.
Oh, wait. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it goes yam. I can't remember. It's somewhere between those two fishes.
So like
download
it
yourself and try it.
And what's it called?
Yamfox.
Yamfox. Gary, do you have any favorite Firefox extensions or browser extensions?
Not particularly. I don't use Firefox.
What do you use?
I use Chrome.
Well, what, do you have any Chrome extensions?
No,
like?
I'm not really into the whole extensions. I know.
Not even for like Gmail notification and shit like that?
I wasn't into it either before like 2 days ago. And well, now I'm
It's sold. Good that you've seen the light.
Yeah. All my Gmail comes through my mail app, so I get it that way.
Wow, that is really old fashioned.
Yeah. And I know there are plenty of people that can't survive without lots of extensions and think the idea of just using a vanilla browser is prehistoric, but I don't know. I mean, like, what would be a couple of extensions that I would really benefit
from? Norm's going to say gestures.
Mouse gestures.
Yeah.
Like what, for example?
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
I already have mouse gestures through my Magic Mouse. I can swipe back and forward between pages.
That's not what I mean. I mean...
No, that is what he means.
I mean moving the mouse as a gesture. Not
so it doesn't work on a trackpad. It's not a trackpad thing. It's a mouse thing. So you right-click... Draw a little line on the screen, and that closes a tab or opens a new tab or opens a link in a new tab, so you never have to touch the keyboard when you're using the browser.
Okay.
Or move your mouse to the back button and click it.
Yeah. Do that. Like instead but of again, having to move up to the thing.
I just do a two-finger swipe left or right, and I go back.
Even on your iMac? Do you use the trackpad on your iMac?
No, on an iMac, I have a Magic Mouse, which has the gestures.
Okay, that's a terror. Okay, never mind. This discussion is over.
A lot of discussion killers for you. I
kind of feel
talking
like Morbo.
Bad about Chrome.
Yeah, okay.
I have noticed that when I go to a lot of websites now, they always ask me if I want to add their extension. Like I went to the Huffington Post the other day, and they were, would you like to add the Huffington Post extension?
Hmm. Yeah, see, I don't do that. I don't believe in single site extensions. Yeah.
Right.
I think extensions should work on the whole internet or not at all. So here's I use I have the PDF and PowerPoint viewer for Google, which I like a lot. I use the Google Mail Checker. I have a lot of notifiers. I have a thing that tells me when I have a Google voice message. What else do I have? And gestures.
Oh, there's a
That's
a
what
pretty,
I use now. I've pared it down a lot.
There's a pretty sweet Twitter one which put little Twitter icons next to people's names on – you know what I'm talking about? You're acting like you know this. Well, basically you go to somebody's page, say Lindsay Lohan, and just when you see the name Lindsay – or an article about Lindsay Lohan, her Twitter feed – appears as a little icon that you can click and instantly subscribe to her.
I'm
using a bad example, but say you were reading about something you enjoyed.
This sounds pretty mundane.
No, man. It's just
say
a good way to subscribe to Twitter.
Say you were reading a movie blog and it was a review of Scott Pilgrim and the name Edgar Wright popped up. Then you go to his Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you read his Twitter? I didn't know that.
I don't follow celebrities on Twitter, really.
I don't either.
Sure you don't, Anna.
I don't. You know who I follow?
Checking for Lohan.
I only follow one, and it's the one.
The one?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's the number one person who basically is the
Ashton
reason.
Ashton Kutcher?
Oh, my God.
Lady
Nobody
Gaga.
Knows who the number one
Lady Gaga.
Person. No, Justin Bieber.
Lady Gaga is the number one person on Twitter.
Really?
No, that's it's Britney Spears.
Britney Spears was the number one person
Who's
on Twitter.
Who's the number one now?
Lady Gaga.
I'm surprised by
number
that.
Number one person
I read somewhere
on
that
Twitter.
Justin Bieber accounts for 3% of all tweets.
I'm just going, yes.
Worldwide.
He is responsible for a lot of traffic.
Oh.
But not the number one fans.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to go to twittercounter.com.
Well, then I'm
going to
unsubscribe from him because I was sold a billion
Twitter
goods.
Tracker. You had Bieber fever, but not anymore.
No.
Number one with 6.4 million followers, Lady Gaga. Number two with 5.98 million followers, Britney Spears.
Oh, my goodness.
Number three with 5.827 million followers, A plus K, which I believe is the Cooch.
Jeez Louise.
And after Ashton Kutcher is the president of the United States. So and then after the president is Bieber. But I think the world has Bieber fever, and it seems like he's probably about to pass
Barack. I'm surprised that Britney
Obama.
Has so many as she's still
Yeah,
relevant.
She has a
I'm
lot.
I'm surprised that she's still – oh,
all right,
this is
all
a terrible
right,
conversation.
This is,
yeah,
this
I'm
is,
sorry.
The only statistic we really care about in the Twitter universe is who has more followers, me or Norm.
Oh,
That's turning into quite a heated race.
I passed you today.
How many
did you really?
Have?
I passed you yesterday.
Son of a
I passed
bitch.
You today.
What are the numbers as they stand right now?
I'm looking right now.
No, you got to go to the mobile Twitter site. We'll also tell you.
Okay, just Norm is going to investigate this while we move on to an interesting topic. But first, I'm going to play some piano music. This has been kind of a slow news week, so please bear with us and stay for the witty banter, if not for the informative content.
Hey, I want to tell you about a tech-related thing that I discovered the other day in my house that I thought was pretty cool.
Okay.
So I have the Comcast Xfinity Triple Play.
Is this an ad for Comcast?
Yeah. No, I hate Comcast. Okay, they annoy me all the time. I just thought this one thing was
okay,
good.
Okay, lay it on me.
But I get my phone service and the online and the TV all through it.
Yes.
And I discovered that when someone calls your Comcast voice line.
Yes. It comes up on the TV.
It comes up on the TV. And yeah. I can send it to voicemail or whatever just so I don't have to get up to see who's calling me. It's brilliant.
Does that only work if you have the cable box, their cable box?
I think so. I just thought that was a nice little bit of integration.
Yeah, it's neat. Yeah. I like that.
That's all. I just thought it was worth mentioning. It was kind of a cool thing.
I had a friend in college who had a TV with a modem in it, and he plugged that in, and it like would do caller ID on the TV screen. I thought that was the coolest feature ever.
It would be nice to actually be able to pick
12 years to get it back.
If I could actually pick the call up, that would be great. All I can really do is decide whether or not
I want it. What if you could just pass it over to FaceTime and have have your FaceTime?
See, that? I mean, this is where we're going to get to eventually.
Have you had a FaceTime call since can we do a FaceTime call count, Norm?
Three.
The only time I've ever done a FaceTime call is when we were testing it.
When it was you and I.
I've not had a single... The Wi-Fi is what's really killing it. They've got to open it up to 3G.
Yeah, I my wife is in Vegas this weekend. I had the iPod Touch. I was like, hey, we could FaceTime. She's like, no, I don't have Wi-Fi here.
I bet she does. She just didn't want to look at your face.
I don't blame her, frankly.
All right, so Norm, here's the count.
Start with Gary.
I'll let you validate.
I can tell that Norm has a smug,
I haven't checked mine yet.
But all right, so let me look. I've got to stop name checking you in my tweets. I'm only helping you.
This is really the worst ego stroking ever.
I have 2,768 followers right now.
Okay.
All right, and this is the actual count because it's on the Twitter site, not using
This is up to date numbers.
Yes, as of right now.
I can hear people turning off their iPods right now.
Yeah, this is so boring.
I have
2,772. So how many more?
Oh, okay, my God.
Wow, this is really neck and neck
stuff. I'm going to unfriend you now so I can help Gary.
Right now, I'm going to go on Twitter. Which of you has the biggest offer? I'm going to tell people to sign up for your Twitter feed right now. One of you.
Oh, only one?
Only one.
We have to offer.
It's a bidding situation. What are the offers?
I don't know. I don't think I've got anything to offer.
You know, I just heard the tweet deck.
Yeah,
thing.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, that was the tweet deck.
What
thing.
Was that?
I just turned on Twitter, but it was a mistake. It's off now.
Listeners, please go check your tweet deck.
Yeah, hey, like everybody got a DM from me. Hey,
you guys are also popular.
Okay, let's talk about news. IE9's out. Beta. Is it any good? Has anybody used it?
It's fast.
Norm used it. None of the rest of us have looked at it.
It's extremely fast, but it doesn't offer anything. Like, I think we did talk about this last week. It doesn't offer anything compelling that would turn me away from Firefox. I want Firefox. I'm going to do Chrome next. IE is like third in line.
You used to be a firm IE user too.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the days before you knew about mouse gestures.
Yep. Yep.
So what would it take to pull you away from...
That's the thing. I don't know. It would take something I didn't know.
You can't even imagine right now.
Yeah. It would be something unimaginable.
Yeah.
And also the rendering sucks still. Like, so on sites, there's still the compatibility mode. So some features on some sites work with compatibility mode but don't look right.
But when they look right,
it doesn't work.
So what's the quick rundown on what's changed? They've added 3D acceleration to 2D. Basically, they're using the GPU to render the graphics windows.
Yes, and then, of course, interface has changed.
Yes, it's more chromey.
Tabs and the awesome bar are one thing, are one line. All the menus are gone. It's speed increases. Lots and lots of speed increases.
Anything else to talk about on IE?
Anybody
have any questions?
No.
It's in beta.
You can try it now if you have Windows. Download it. Give it a try.
Yeah, as a Mac person, it couldn't be less relevant.
Post some comments. Let us know what you think.
I
promise not to say anything about the Mac stuff today.
Yeah, the only reason you're able to get me in here is by promising to lay off the Apple.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything.
That live show was the last straw. I saw the fury in your eyes during that live show.
Gary was the one who brought up the situation with the site that will not be named. And anyway.
Wait, I don't even remember what we're talking about.
I don't either. Let's just move on.
Let's not go back there. It doesn't sound like a pleasant memory for anyone.
Everybody's upset. Put on the HD Vision glasses. You need a yellow, rose yellow.
I
think you might be able to wear those on top of your normal glasses.
You think?
I don't know. Norm was able to.
Oh yeah.
Double glasses.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I'm at the movie theater waiting to see a
don't do it on a
bad 3D movie.
Don't do it.
Oh. Did you see the Bronado?
No.
That was the follow-up to the Double Rainbow.
Wow.
Do you not see it? It was like two guys in Brooklyn or New Jersey or whatever.
I did see that. Yeah.
The Bronado.
What do they say?
What does it mean? No, they're dumbasses. There's a tornado going through Brooklyn. They're standing out on their deck on like a third-story walk-up, it looks like, watching a tree across the street get dismantled, basically.
Are they doing awesome accents? Are they like, hey, check out that tree over there?
What do you think? They sound kind of douchey, right?
Or are they like hipsters?
They're hipsters.
Oh, that's too bad. It would have been awesome if they were like Jersey.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, like those
guys. Yeah, what's the matter, you tornado? I don't know what's going on here.
Don't say that to my face.
Yeah, exactly.
Left coast, west coast.
This is awful.
Hey, I lived in New York for 8 years.
How many more regions can we offend in this podcast?
You know what?
We already blew off the entire Midwest and Nebraska.
I'm just saying.
Now we've got the Jersey Shore coming after us.
I'm just saying, fuck the Galapagos, man. I hate those guys.
You know what's fucked up about these HD vision glasses?
What?
Well, I mean, it's,
aside from
the many things that are obviously fucked up.
Yes.
Is if you wear them for too long, the yellow tint becomes normal.
When you take them off,
everything seems way too blue now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the world went really
blue. Once you HD vision, you can't go back. Okay, Kindle news. Back on track.
Ooh.
Focusing.
Kindle. What's happening in the world of Kindle?
So it's constantly sold out. It's still sold out. But they've been running ads again, despite the fact that it's sold out.
Yeah, and these ones are going right at the iPad.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the ads yet. Can someone describe the ad using words?
There's a guy in a resort hotel, like outside by the pool, and he's on a sun lounger, and he's trying to read his iPad.
Interesting.
But of course, all he's getting is the reflection and
he's blinding himself with the sun.
All he can see is he's not looking in the mirror. All he can see is his own face because the screen doesn't work great in bright sunlight.
Okay.
And then there's a woman in a bikini sitting on a sun lounger next to him reading her Kindle. And of course, her e-ink page looks perfect and isn't affected by the sun.
Well, of course, it looks like paper.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And he says to her, like, oh, what's that you're reading? Like, he's obviously tired of this iPad business. And she says, oh, this is the Kindle, only $139. My sunglasses cost more than this. And he's like, harumph, why didn't I get one of those? But they're directly exploiting – it's a whole campaign built around
this one. Well, it's e-ink versus LCD.
Yeah, the e-ink is
sweaty
much better.
Nerd versus
I want to see
– sunbathing shirt.
Now I want to see the reverse version where they hooked up and now they're in bed at night and he can read his screen at night and she can't because it's not bright enough.
She's like, excuse me, how are you reading that?
I have to say, one of the things I like about the iPad is when I'm traveling, I fire up the Kindle app. There's not a hotel in the country that has a bedside table that's suitable for reading.
Mm.
Right? There's no lamps. There's no reading lights. Apparently, people think that people don't read in hotels.
Are you kidding me?
What?
The hotels I stay at, I don't know what hotels you stay at, but all the only lights are the nightstand.
Yeah, the little ones by the side of the bed.
But usually those, like, you can't turn off from right there. You have to get up and walk over to a switch.
Yeah, the game is figuring out where the fuck the switch is.
Right.
The switch, it's hidden in a flower.
And I mean, frequently I have to unplug that lamp so I have someplace to plug in my phone and or iPad to charge.
Yeah, or the alarm clock.
Because there's only one plug in the whole fucking room.
Yeah.
And you have to choose between the clock or the lamp.
It's why. Yeah,
it's like the lady or the tiger.
Because the iPad charging cord is so short.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to leave it on the floor to charge.
Always travel with power strip.
I travel light. I don't check bags, Norm.
You can get a light power strip.
I travel light.
Does it say anything about this Kindle commercial that they're acknowledging? You don't see the Apple logo, but it's clearly an iPad-like device.
Yeah.
That by acknowledging, by going after the iPad, this kind of negative campaigning that they're feeling like that's something they have to deal with?
That's a super Apple-y thing to do, right? I mean, that's what Apple did with the Justin Long, John Hodgman commercials.
Right.
They said, hey, we're better than this other thing number of reasons.
They should just do it. Hey, I'm an iPad, I'm a Kindle.
But they would lose.
They
could do one. I could look at the internet, and I have Twitter, and I have music, and you can get movies,
watch Netflix,
and you can read magazines, and you can read books, and there's Netflix, and there's games.
The
other one would be like, "Hey, look, I'm really good at books."
They would get to do one ad where they say, "Well, you can read me in the daylight."
You can read the
50 ads about all the things.
The iPad's
can do.
Like, I can't beat that.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
Fuck you, Kindle.
Yeah, and there'll be a chalkboard of like all the points for the iPad, and then the guy puts up 1 point for the Kindle.
Yeah,
can read in daylight.
Right.
But I mean, the thing is, for $140, I'm okay with the Kindle being a single-purpose thing.
No, it's it's a fantastic product. I love the Kindle.
Yeah, I mean, $140 versus $500. I mean, there are two products for two different
things. The reading in daylight thing is not it so rarely comes up for me that, and I like having just one device. I'm
being nocturnal.
Well, you just just being kind of an indoor type person.
I think we all can agree that we want a thinner iPad.
I want a lighter
iPad. That's what we want. We want the iPad in a Kindle form factor. When they get there, that would be fantastic.
Gina almost chipped a tooth with the iPad when she fell asleep a few weeks ago.
Did it fall on her face?
Laying in bed reading.
Yeah.
Laying in bed reading and bump right in the face.
That happened to me.
Chipperina.
I had it kind of rested up on my I had like my knees up and it was rested there on the little lap stand I had created.
Not good.
And I got a bit dozy. And
it's heavy.
The scary thing was there was that moment of dread as I saw it coming, it falling towards me, and I knew I couldn't. And I just had to take it. Bonk.
My
I just took the bonk on the noggin.
You turn the face. You get your nose to cushion the blow.
I don't know, man. This feels like it could break a little bit of a bridge here.
Yeah, I mean, it's heavy enough.
Heavy. That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. I wonder.
Wait,
if
that can't be silly to be your first time with an iPad in hand.
No. I'm just, after the initial thrill factor has worn off here, I was just curious to see how heavy and laborious it seems now that everybody's over it.
I will say my thumb is much stronger.
It's really not. I mean, are we so spoiled now that seems heavy? It's I can't hold it. It's a pound.
But I mean, there's heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to watch my HD video and check my Twitter on something.
There's heavy. Quit whining, Norm. There's heavy compared to like a laptop, and then there's heavy compared to a book.
Yeah.
You can't one hand. You can, but my thumb is oversized at this point from one hand.
When would you?
iPad.
When would you be holding it in one hand? It's not like you're up on stage giving a dramatic reading from it. Yeah, exactly.
Making a pose.
Hark! What light from yonder window breaks?
You're
holding
when you're swiping with the other hand,
right? Yeah. Or when you're laying in bed. You're laying in bed reading a book.
Or on
you don't
want
to have to do it like this all night. Oh, okay.
I just usually have it rested on something. It's usually up on my lap or something.
But wouldn't
like
it be nice not to have position. To?
Why are we talking about this? Is old. Let's talk about something new.
So have you downloaded VLC for iPad yet, Gary?
Yeah.
I haven't. What, is that something I would want?
I think it's something you would
Doesn't
want.
Doesn't AirVideo play everything?
AirVideo streams everything, and you need to, you have it runs on your computer.
How do you how do you get the videos on
iTunes
so they work with VLC?
iTunes. It's like there's just like with some apps where
you have to sync
documents.
It.
You sync it with iTunes. It has.
Oh, that sucks so bad.
Hey, let's go back to
Kindle.
The Kindle.
So it's jailbroken, right?
So it's been that's the other news in the Kindle.
So can I get a sweet Twitter app for my Kindle?
Yeah, now it does everything the iPad does.
Really?
No.
Except that it looks like a Game Boy from 1991.
Jailbreak, not miracle.
Okay.
But you can change. You can get different fonts, which I'm frankly amazed that you need on a Kindle. You'd think that'd be the one thing that it would do out of the box.
Some people like crazy fonts. Some people want to read some shit in Comic Sans.
Some people want to read Comic Sans. They want to read Eat, Pray, Love in Comic Sans.
I bet a lot of people want to read Eat, Pray, Love in Comic Sans.
That's the most ironic reading a hipster could do on the subway in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Eat, Pray, Love on Comic Sans on a Kindle.
Yeah, that's you'd have pretty, to shoot that person ironic. In the face. I think you'd get off, too.
Yeah.
I think if you laid your case out like that to the judge, he was reading Eat, Pray, Love.
For
in
irony.
Comic Sans.
Yeah.
And he didn't even
on a
mean
Kindle.
It.
The judge would be like, yeah, you know what?
He doesn't like Italy. He hates Italy. Okay. So jailbroken, what do you
screen
get?
Screensavers?
Okay. So that's a Nook feature. Like you can download custom screensavers. Like I downloaded an Alice in Wonderland screensaver that had a lot of the original art from the Lewis Carroll editions.
What would be the point of that though? Is it just
when you turn it off, right now it shows like Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Oh, so it's still displaying
an
something.
Author. Yeah.
Oh.
So the screensaver gives you a different thing that's up when the screen is off.
But it's not when we talk about screensavers, the original point of that was to prevent burning on those old displays.
I believe
it's not what that's doing, right?
I believe that the e-ink screens can have a little bit of memory if you leave the same thing on them for too long.
But is this an animated screensaver?
No. But there's many different ones, and I think the idea is that if you combine the different screensavers that show up over periods of time, they're going to be all black. A relatively even period of time. That's my guess. I don't know if that's true or not.
And the battery is good enough that it's not an issue that you leave something up on the display.
Well,
right?
The thing with the e-ink is the battery doesn't get used once it only uses power when it's changing, not when it's up.
Oh, that's magical.
That's why e-ink lasts so long. That's what's good
about
it.
That's why you can leave it on for like a month. It's great.
Right, exactly. I literally have charged the Kindle twice since I've
That's been a problem with like, it's like I take a couple of long plane journeys recently, and because I'm using my iPad for like five other things, when I then decide I want to use it to read my Kindle, the battery is low, and I'm like, ooh, am I going to get to finish reading my book on this flight? I don't have to think about that.
There's a place for that dedicated device. Because, I mean, if you turn off wireless and you don't use the light, a Kindle will literally last for 3 weeks using it every night.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, other cracks that have happened. The HDCP code, which is the protection for content being moved across HDMI, some DVI, and I think DisplayPort. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if DisplayPort's encrypted. But that's been cracked. Is everybody really excited?
Well, what does that mean?
Awesome Newsweek continues.
What would that allow us to do that we couldn't do yesterday?
So somebody figured out what the master key was for HDCP. So that means you can generate as many new keys as you want. And basically a key, each device that is connected legitimately using HDCP has its own key.
But what is the practical upshot of all this?
The practical upshot.
Software that will play. That will decode Blu-rays and so you can rip the video.
Right. So if you have an HDMI capture device, you should theoretically be able to capture HDCP encrypted stuff, which includes like PlayStation output. I mean,
Gersman tweeted something about how it would be easier for them now to do like digital screen captures for games and stuff.
Maybe. There's a couple of questions about that.
Who are we kidding here? This is for pirates, right? This is for people that want to pirate content.
The thing is, it's one of those things like unless you have some pretty specialized equipment, it's pretty much for pirates.
I don't think people rip their own Blu-rays. No one rips their own Blu-rays.
I rip my own Blu-rays. Am I not people?
No.
Okay.
No one really rips their own Blu-rays.
It's a real pain in the ass. Yeah.
And it takes up a lot of space.
Takes up a lot of space. The reason you would do it is, I mean, right now there's an easier way to rip Blu-rays, the AACS decryption, which has been around for a long time. The NEDVD HD uses it. Make MKV uses it. A bunch of other places use it.
But this will let you use your PC Blu-ray player, like the Blu-ray drive on your PC, and watch it full 1080 on a PC monitor that might not have HDCP support.
Yeah, so if you have like an old 30-inch panel prior to 2008, they aren't going to support HDCP, so you can't watch Blu-ray at full resolution. See, that's the other.
There's nothing nefarious about that. They should just let you do that anyway. That's crazy. But
well, if you pay for you're connected. Make this happen. Get it fixed. This is a Hollywood problem.
Yeah, I'll call the president of Hollywood today, and I'll get that.
If you would, that'd be awesome.
Care of. Yeah,
thanks, Gary. Netflix out in Canada. Our Canadian friends, Matt Braga, right now is downloading movies from Netflix and streaming as fast as
possible. I saw quite a few Canadian people were tweeting, very excited about this. My friend Jim Preston, who works at EA.
He's a Madden guy, right?
Yeah, he was the Madden guy. I don't know if he still is anymore, but he's up in Vancouver now.
Oh, wow.
And he was quite up in the great white north.
Dr. Jim Preston.
Dr. Jim Preston.
PhD.
Formerly of PC Gamer,
yes,
and then EA, and he's up in Canada now working on various projects. And he tweeted along with them. And you just assume that our northern brethren have everything that we
America's
do.
Hat.
Netflix and things that you just came to. Yeah. America's hat.
Is that wrong? Is that
no, I was thinking in Florida when The Simpsons went home and called it America's Wang. That was a good one. Nearly got a spit take out of Will there. Nearly. But no, we just assume that up in Canada they have a hat and a wing.
It's just a wing face.
Can I just say, I would happily, if I had the choice, I would trade in Netflix for the free prescription drugs and all that stuff. I think they've still got the.
But now they get the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
now they've got everything.
We should just all move to Canada.
But, Canada is just better.
No Hulu.
It's cold. It's too cold.
Is it all?
I don't like moose meat.
I was up in Vancouver. No, it was pretty.
I read
cold.
A really interesting article about eating beaver tail the other day.
What? Ew, that sounds like it would.
Said
not
it was delicious.
Taste very good.
And they make like cracklings out of the flat part of the tail.
Oh, hey, I got a recipe looking. For you that you're gonna be interested in: coffee crusted steak.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll send it on.
Send it
to
over.
You.
I'll try it out. Okay, so Netflix in Canada, more PS3 Netflix Canada craziness. You know how right now when you play Netflix movies on your PS3, you have to put that dumb disc in?
So dumb. And on the Wii, too.
I lost the disc.
I gave my
Wii. You lose the disc, and you're going to lose the disc.
They'll send you a new one.
Anytime you want to put another movie in, you got to set it aside. Yeah. It's a pain.
Yeah. So in Canada, they don't have that. In Canada, there's just a thing on the XMB that says Netflix.
Whose fault is that?
Microsoft has an exclusive deal.
So they have the exclusive rights to have Netflix running without the use of a disc.
Not for very much longer is the word on the street.
Really? Okay.
Don't tell anybody.
I have to say, even if that was evened out and that was the equation that none of them had discs, the Xbox interface is still the best one of the three to use Netflix. The PS3 and the Wii interfaces are not great.
You can't find stuff.
No, but I'm saying of the three, the Xbox interface is the best one.
I've only used the PS3 one once. I use PS3 for streaming movies inside my house.
Yes.
I never ever use PS3 for watching Netflix because the disc is a pain.
I use the Xbox because the Xbox has the wireless N. The PlayStation 3 still doesn't have wireless N. If you want to stream HD content, you're probably not doing it very well wirelessly.
Wired.
Well, see, wired, then it's not an issue.
Yeah, I wired everything. I crawled through the basement.
I used to run wired all over the house. But
yeah, I mean, that's the thing I end up doing is you sit with the iPad or the iPhone or something like that and add stuff to the instant queue, and then you have to scroll all the way to the end of the instant queue.
Yeah.
And the bad news is my instant queue has like 1,300 things on it.
Yeah, I got a ton of movies
in
mine.
Yeah.
But it's great. We're happy for the Canadians.
Anna, you're quietly sitting over there
drawing.
No,
I'm listening. I was thinking about how sometimes when I flip through the instant queue, me and my friends just end up watching the instant queue for about
half an
hour.
Well, you play Menu Hero.
What's Menu Hero?
Well, Menu Hero was invented when we were playing. Once like you had like 400 songs in Rock Band.
Yeah.
And you end up sitting there and like one person gets the control and you're like, oh man, what am I going to play? And then they're going through and they look at each one for like 2 seconds. And you're like, fuck, go faster. That is Menu Hero.
But then you get
it applies to Netflix too.
It sure does, because then you look at it. It's like, oh, Pee Wee's Big Adventure. That movie is awesome. Oh yeah, I saw that one out. And then it was like, so.
And then you watch the first 10 minutes.
You don't watch the first 10 minutes. You just spend 30 seconds talking about it, and then move on to the next one.
It's great though. You can press on the 360. You can press the bumper buttons.
Yeah.
Yes. Really flash.
That's a pro tip. Well, Ryan was saying on with the Move. This is the best segue ever, ooh, by the way. With the move, you can go through menus with the move.
But really, does anybody want to do that?
Flip, flip. He said it's really fast.
Will is waving his arms around left
this,
to right.
Yeah. This is just like that internet image where, you know, ex-bros think the Kinect's going to be like, hello, Batman.
It looks...
it's going to really be like...
it what looks, the hell? Is that a meme I don't know about yet?
Yes, I'll find this image.
Oh, man.
What you were doing just there looked like, show me, paint a fence.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so... it's fast is the takeaway. Like, it goes as fast as you whip your hand.
Yeah.
So,
How do you feel about on Netflix that thing like now where they, you can see what other people are. The first thing I do is turn that off. I don't want people to
know what I'm watching. I immediately turn that off.
Yeah.
You can see that I'm watching Netflix, but you can't see what I'm watching.
Yes. Because
what
that.
I've seen is that most of what people are watching is pretty embarrassing.
It's all bad. I had a nightmare the other day that I'd forgotten to turn that off, actually. People realized that I watched all three Princess Diaries movies in one weekend.
Wait, did this actually happen?
No, it didn't actually happen. None of this is true. Let's see.
Can I see? Wait a minute.
Let me see this.
Oh, boy.
This is not good podcasting, what we're doing
right
now.
Yeah, we're looking at shit on the internet and not even talking about it. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
People are going to wish that Anna and Gary were the same person.
That was hilarious. I'm sorry you couldn't see it.
Okay, so we've spent time with Sony Move. This week.
Yeah, so you've been hands-on with it.
So Norm and I played. There's a video on the site. We were kind of underwhelmed. I took it home and had a better experience. I see.
I'm still laughing.
The smoke coming out of the machine.
Oh, I didn't even see that. That's a great touch.
It is so good.
So I'm gonna try to do a dramatic explanation of this.
Yeah.
In the first panel,
I'll be the judge because I haven't seen this.
In the first panel, it says, "What ex-bro?" It's a cartoon. It says, "What ex-bros?" I guess ex-bros is like a pejorative term for people that
it's
are
like
into
you
the Xbox.
For Xbox.
Like, dude, like Halo players, ex-bros.
Yeah.
Okay, so
hey, man, I'm a Halo player. Don't group me into that shit.
So this guy's got his Kinect set up, and the TV is saying. There's like a computerized face saying, "Good morning, Batman." And he's saying, "This guy's a cool." There's a cool dude with sunglasses saying, "Morning, Xbox," and he's got like a Minority Report holographic touchscreen display in front of him, and he's moving shit around in a very cool way, like it's what we hope the Kinect would actually be like. And then it says, "What will actually happen," which is the same guy just completely spazzing out in a completely ridiculous way.
This is all MS Paint style.
Yeah, it's all done in MS Paint, and there's the Xbox. The screen says "Waggle to pet tiger," and in a perfect touch that Anna just pointed out, there is smoke coming out of the Xbox because, of course, Xboxes blow up.
Yeah, there's red rings. Wow, that's pretty funny.
It's really good, guys.
Go to contraband.com with a K, I guess, and you can see it for yourself.
Yes, we're just search for what ex bros believe.
MS Paint humor is. I could read those things all day.
We had a really great thread.
Yeah.
I wonder if Lane picked winners yet.
He did, dude.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
I'm behind.
A whole series of winners.
Yeah.
There's the honest choice.
Yeah, there's honest choice.
Oh, there's honest choice?
You know what? Lane actually got my honest choice wrong. I gave him two options and said, well, if you've already picked number one for something, just go with number two. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sorry now to the guy who actually won the award because I'm saying that his actually wasn't my favorite.
Yeah,
I liked them both.
Thumbs down.
I liked them both. I know. I'm sorry. I liked them all. But yeah, it's a great thread. Everybody should check it out.
I remember there's an epic one recently that I read that was all people's favorites for cartoons.
Oh, the foos? You know?
Oh, is it foos?
I said it was pho.
I think it's pho.
Well, no, it's pho, because you're going to say pho.
Yeah,
you're not going to say foo. You go pho.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
there's
that.
There's a split here at this table.
Well, I think it was foo. Yeah.
You know, there's the neutral face, and
There's another meme now where things go really right and the guy's going fuck yeah, like it all worked out for the guy. Yeah,
that's what my life's like every day.
Your life is just one big fuck yeah. So PlayStation Move.
PlayStation Move.
I was discovered. My big revelation was discovered that the little colored orb at the end is actually squishy.
That blows people's minds every time.
First
I show
time
them.
It blew me away. It's like, oh, you can squish this thing.
Oh yeah.
But I guess that's the way it has to be, right? So that you're not knocking your teeth out.
If you whack somebody in the face with that thing, it was hard plastic. It would really be bad.
Yeah, you would notice it.
Yeah. So
what have you been playing with it?
Sports Champions.
Yeah. Who cares? Wii Sports in high definition.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Yes.
You say that, but it's actually like. It's much less waggly than Wii Sports in high definition would be. Because the thing you get is the one-to-one. And I'm not a PlayStation fanboy. I'm not an Xbox fanboy. I'm a nothing fanboy, per many discussions. But basically, when you hold it up like this, your ping pong paddle is upright. You turn it. It rotates 90 degrees. There's none of this. You know how like when you're doing
doesn't
the sword.
Doesn't Wii Motion Plus do that, though?
Kind of. Remember when you do that sword fighting game in Wii Motion Plus and it ends up with somebody going like this just over and over and over
but
again?
But that's just because that's just whacking. What people do. There's no...
Yeah. Doesn't that happen
and you know what? We
in
still
Gladiator?
Do it. We still did it.
It happens in Gladiator, too.
Well, on Gladiator... Go ahead.
Here's what I would argue. PlayStation Move is technically more accurate with the higher resolution, but those games, because you get no feedback, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And the best software, the best games that make use of motion control are going to be the Waggle games.
Right. And I mean, that's the thing. Everybody knows how to do Waggle.
Is the best.
Well, but so the thing is, the big thing is right now, no matter how technically superior the Move stuff is, the software that's coming out right now is pretty shit. I mean, iPad is super lame. I mean, I couldn't even get it to work. I would need floodlights or something.
Penny Arcade
guys
seem to like it. They were talking about it today.
Is iPad? I've never even heard of it.
iPad is a virtual pet augmented reality thing. So you aim the camera at the floor in front of your TV.
And it creates a virtual pet.
And it creates a virtual pet.
Lives in the mirror version of your house.
So, it is not the tiger.
Mm-hmm. So
No, that's probably Connectimals.
Right.
I had a super sad moment with the iPad where I'm sitting on the floor.
Did you kill it? You forgot to feed it?
No. I'm sitting there. I'm trying to, it's like waggle your fingers to make the iPad.
So you're
pounce.
Doing this. You're just petting an imaginary pet. But on the screen, it looks like you're petting a real animal.
Yeah, but the thing is, I have a real pet. Chloe is sitting there kind of walking around. She keeps bringing her ball up and dropping it in my lap.
Oh, you know, I got
to
play
with
my
I'm trying to play with the fake pet. I'm like, this is the saddest thing ever. So, okay. Yeah. Maybe for kids who have really bad allergies or something, can't have a real dog or cat, whatever. The Sports Champions is very familiar if you've played any of the Wii Sports games.
Yep.
I mean, it is good, but it's also like there's some kind of uncomfortable racial stereotypes in there.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I mean, didn't you? I thought so.
It's a bit broad for
like what?
The post-PC world.
Well, it's like the Asian girl knows some sort of martial arts and always does like some sort of weird arm motion at the end of every victory or loss.
Right.
It was made by Japan.
No, dude, it was made in San Diego. Yeah.
There's a fiery
I was like, of America from Japan.
Right. I was talking to Jeff or Ryan conspiracy. Or somebody about this, and I was like, oh yeah, it's just casual Japanese racism. And they're like, no, this was made in America. So yeah, I mean that like the one kind of interesting thing is the Kung Fu slider, the game where you're basically riding an office chair down the hill and you can kick people and jump. You're like a Japanese salaryman escaping from evil Yakuza guys.
Is this it for now? I mean, the launch lineup? It's Sports Champions, iPad. What else?
There's like 10 games, but they're all there's a shooting gallery game that I think comes out in a couple of weeks. That is very Hogan's Alley. It's like a Hollywood shooting game.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. It has a little plastic gun attached.
Yeah, there's a demo for that bundled into the thing with the Move remote and the thing. Some stuff there are flashes of brilliance. Like the Gladiator game that's in the Sports Champions game, mm-hmm. when you have two Move controllers where one is the shield and one is the sword, fucking awesome.
All right.
I mean, this is super cool. Not worth $150. Or $100 or whatever the bundle is.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's that when you're like with one Wiimote or one Move controller, whatever it's called, not cool at all. With two, it's really good. But that means you have to pay $200 worth of these controllers in order to play the game in a fun way with two people.
I will run out and buy pretty much anything. And I won't buy this. I just haven't seen it. Doesn't seem like it's worth the money.
So the interesting thing to me is we're recording this on Wednesday. Basically, Heavy Move. The patch for Heavy Move that makes
Heavy Rain.
Jesus.
So I saw this at PAX. They have augmented Heavy Rain now.
Yes.
For Move.
Yeah. So I'm actually super interested in that. I bought Heavy Rain. Gina ended up playing almost all of it and then got pissed off.
Heavy Rain's great. One of my favorite games this year.
Well, I just didn't have time, and I didn't want to spoil the game for her because I was playing and all that. But her complaint, because she's not like a super hardcore gamer, she plays racing games and stuff like that, is
mashing those buttons can be pretty hard.
Well, yeah, when she has to look down to see which one's the triangle, which one's the X.
I do that all the time because I spend most of my time on Xbox. I could do it. I know where the green button is. Well, not anymore because he fucking took the green button away. But
different discussion.
Triangle, square, cross, circle. I don't always remember exactly where they are.
I know triangles at top and X is at bottom, but I don't know where the other.
You know what would
be
great? How they could have fixed that is for beginners is when they flash the button. It showed you the button with a little silhouette of the context of where it's positioned on the pad.
Yeah.
Or they could just invent some sort of crazy motion controller, and then instead of pressing a button, you just twist the controller like it's a doorknob.
Is this going to be a free patch?
Free patch. They're also going to re-release a new edition, but it's a free patch is my understanding.
Right, and the little gestural icons pop up to show you what you should be doing.
I believe so, yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to be interested to try that. I think that actually I think you have to use either the left side of a PlayStation controller – or you can use the little navigation, the nunchuck.
Yeah.
With that as well. So
what are they calling that thing?
Navigation controller.
The Sony PlayStation Move Navigational Controller.
Well, that just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the SPMNA. SPMNC. SP SPMNC. It could be S, though. You could have the station in there. SPSMNC.
SPSMNC.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Nothing like anyway, the M and the N right next to each other.
Just call it the fucking nunchuck and let's move on. Okay, a couple other things. We had a story that was very controversial on the site this week. Intel is selling upgrade cards for their CPUs. And I'm not talking about a card that you jam into a slot in the computer. I'm talking about like a lottery ticket. You scratch off a little thing on the back and you type a code into a piece of software and it unlocks hidden capabilities of your CPU.
That is weird.
How do we feel about this?
Well, I don't feel great about it because doesn't that mean that the cards are being somehow underclocked and you have to buy CPUs. This card? Sorry, the CPU is being underclocked and you have to pay extra money just to get the full capacity out of the card? Is that what's going on here?
Well, it's budget. Norm, take it. You look like you were ready to talk here. No. Norm, just take it.
I mean, it doesn't cost them any more to build.
Well, there's two ways to look at it, right? One is that normally I get really pissed off about stuff like this, but I can see both sides of this one. One of the things is that the materials that go into all CPUs cost about the same. They all have the same amount of tin, all the same amount of silicon, the same amount of gold, the same amount of labor, all that. I mean, there's a lot more effort that goes into design on the higher end chips, and there's a lower yield, so that means there's fewer of those chips made. But the low end chips are essentially, I mean, like they can make millions of those. They're super cheap to make. They cost them practically nothing. So what they're doing is they're taking quad core CPUs and disabling two cores, selling them as dual core CPUs, which is something that the CPU industry has always done. I mean, over the years, there have been many, many tricks. Like you could take old Athlon XP's pencil a connector on the top of the chip and make it run like three times faster, not three times faster, but 20% faster for nothing, just because it was easier for them to make the fast CPUs and then sell them slower than it is to make a bunch of slow CPUs and sell a few faster.
Right.
The other side of this is that they're selling you something at the store that has some potential reserved so that they can then upsell you an upgrade for that. I mean,
that seems immoral.
It seems immoral. Yes.
But if you're buying it cheaper at the time and then the upgrade is
that's the thing
up to what you would have paid for the more expensive card anyway, really? Then maybe that's okay.
Well, that's the question.
They decide that.
Right. They decide the pricing. So if you're paying the same thing you would for another dual core on this, and then you could pay the extra $50, that brings you up to the same cost. I mean, it's essentially the same thing.
I can see them charging you more for a CPU that has upgrade potential.
Ooh. Don't say that. Don't say that out loud.
Do you want the dual core CPU that can never be upgraded, or do you want the one that maybe later on, if you want to spend the money, could be upgraded?
Oh, that's horrible.
But look at it. I can buy the dual core today, and rather than having to swap it out and buy a whole new card, I can just make up the difference with the upgrade card. Right? That actually sounds like not a bad idea.
Like I said, I see it both ways.
It's like a built-in upgrade path.
But why? Why not just make that CPU cheaper?
Yeah.
That too.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the big question is why if – I mean, market pressure in the quad core CPUs, such and such. But if their quad core CPUs are cheap to produce, why are they not selling them at a cheaper price?
Yeah.
Because they can sell them for more. Yes.
Companies make money.
Yeah. It just smacks of an industry.
Intel's got to eat.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's like, what does a company do when their product becomes too cheap to sell for all the money they want? Meaning as long as people will still pay it, they can still charge it. But it just seems like the last gasp. It's something that needs to come down in price.
That's when they get Microsoft to introduce even less efficient operating systems so that – fuck.
What? Well, now what?
Email. I can't help that. I have to keep the browser open because that's where my notes are. You guys did not just get an email. That was me.
Nobody likes you.
So how long before this gets cracked? Although I guess like Xbox codes haven't been cracked. So.
I mean, that's the thing is if they do the encryption right, by the time it would get cracked, the CPU will be irrelevant.
Yeah.
So, you know, if all the computers in the world worked on this problem, we might get like three codes by the end of next year.
Right.
So, so that's Intel. The last thing is the NVIDIA GPU technology conference is going on right now. Norm, anything out of there?
So CUDA, which NVIDIA's proprietary general purpose computing language platform, is now
general purpose GPU computing.
Yes, general purpose, which means using your GPU to do calculations that your CPU would normally do.
Kind of specialized workloads.
Yes, very specialized. So video transcoding, protein folding, all that kind of stuff.
Normally, you need an NVIDIA card. In the future, you might not. They've announced that they're going to work on a port, so work on x86, which means you can offload that onto your CPU at CPU speeds.
So will it work with ATI cards now?
GPU is irrelevant. It's x86.
Well, but I mean,
it's
going to run real slow on x86.
Yes. Yes. So, but at least it would work.
Do you think they waited to announce that they had an x86 port of CUDA until after Larrabee was a dead thing?
They're both desperate moves. They're both signs, but not good things. Larrabee being a dead thing was bad for Intel. This I don't think is a good thing for NVIDIA. It's a sign that no one's really using CUDA.
Not in the real world. You mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Developers don't care. Because that's the thing is, if you're really building an app for people, you can't expect them to have an NVIDIA. Like if you're writing a DVD ripping app, which is what you would traditionally use like a CUDA accelerated app for, to do the MPEG-2 to MPEG-4 transcode, much faster than it can happen on the CPU. You have to do two code paths. It's like the old days when you had Glide and Direct or OpenGL and Direct3D or Glide and Direct3D, and you had to have two entirely different renderers to play one game depending on which video card people had. This is the same thing again because CUDA only works on NVIDIA stuff. So now it'll work on any CPU. It'll just be slow on the CPU.
I know that your mouth is moving and words are coming out of it.
I know, right? I kept on waiting to hear something I would understand.
You started sounding like the grown-ups from Peanuts about 5 minutes ago.
What is it that they have a name for this in Apple? Snow Leopard included this feature.
Are you trying to make it more palatable to me now?
I was just trying to bring
it up.
Speak in your all's terms.
It's magical. That's all I need to know.
Some crazy. Okay, there's also Tegra news, right?
Yeah, Tegra 3 is in the works coming out. That's not a big surprise. We really haven't seen Tegra 2 products come out yet. I think Dell was supposed to have a tablet that was powered by Tegra 2. Zoom was, of course, Tegra 1. And
BoxyBox was supposed to be Tegra 2,
but
right?
Now it's no longer that.
Oh, ouch. Okay, so Tegra 3 next year?
Yes.
Okay. So
you guys talking about graphics cards?
Yeah.
Okay. That's as much as I was able to figure out.
I just want to make sure I had that.
Okay, I'm going to explain this and I'm going to give you the two-sentence Minecraft explanation.
Nice.
Think of an iPhone.
That's Norm, not me. Okay, I'm thinking.
This is great radio.
Basically,
this podcast
I'll,
in the beginning and end is totally failing to explain concepts.
Something
to
really
people.
Simple.
I know.
Okay, so what general purpose GPU computing is?
I think we moved beyond that.
No, there was a request for an explanation. Gary's still kind of glazed over. I don't know if I can do it in two sentences, but I can do it in a paragraph. It's going to be a long paragraph.
I know what your paragraphs are like. I put them on teleprompters.
Oh, hell yeah, you do.
They're like 3 miles long.
Okay, so in the old days, video cards were these very specific fixed function things. So Basically, there was you just fed in a list of vertices and some textures.
No, come back
What's
down.
Okay. You said, hey, yo, draw these triangles and stretch
no,
this.
No, you can go up a bit. Come on. Okay.
No,
up
I was
bit,
happy there.
So you'll get down a bit. So, we don't need the hey, yo.
I do.
Okay. So basically, you would feed a list of triangles, and those triangles would make shapes. And then you'd apply textures to the shapes. And then they started adding these more complex structures. So they would add this like bump mapping. What bump mapping does is adds like knobs and texture to flat surfaces onto flat surfaces. So they look like they have more kind of surface definition than they do.
Norm is cracking.
Norm is dying over here.
Are you with me, Gary? I'm doing a running.
You've drawn quite a lot of triangles.
I've drawn.
Okay.
Here, see?
That's a lot
I'm
of
drawing,
and then,
I'm
and
drawing
then on at the bottom is drawn a triangle with bumps on it.
Yeah.
And written bump mapping.
Yeah. It's a bumpy triangle. So I'm gonna keep going.
So then eventually they got to the point that they were drawing literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of triangles.
I think we can say polygons. When you say triangles, you mean polygons, right?
No. He's abstracting. What he means in the big
this is the explanation
high,
of the explanation.
High level sense is before GPUs would do very specific things, and programmers when they design graphics for games would have to talk to the GPU in a way the GPU can understand.
I get it. Right.
But, I understand that. GPUs are cards that just do the graphics.
Well, hold on.
But now you're paying, $500, $600 for a graphics card, but that doesn't make sense if you're just going to play games.
Oh,
it's not a very good proposition.
You're going too far ahead. So then what they said was they looked at the way the bump mapping works and they said, oh, we can just write a little program that explains what these bumps should look like and how the grass moves in games rather than like say, oh, okay, we need to animate all this grass. They'd just say, okay, draw these lines and then make them move in a kind of like sine wave pattern, right? Really, really simple. But at that point, it became programmable. So they would write all these crazy long programs. And when they did that, as times have progressed, they've become less like feed a whole shitload of triangles into this pipeline and then some like monsters will come out, right, and more into general purpose computing devices that can just do math.
So the graphics massively workload is coming back away from the GPU and back onto the CPU.
No.
Other way.
No. So, okay. Instead of
Here comes Norm again.
Instead of the programmers having to tell the video card, talk to them in triangles, it can talk to them in code, in
they can algorithms. Write algorithms that explain algorithms. What it should look, what that shit looks should look
that,
like.
That in some in terms of the syntax,
so it's is
similar.
It's talking to the graphics card in a more efficient language that produces the same result.
But that language is syntax wise similar to how you would code for x86 a program
hold on
Windows.
Whoa, whoa, you're just giving too far ahead again. x86 syntax.
Okay,
what
the hell is that? Okay, so basically these little tiny programs that describe how the grass should move are called shader programs.
Okay,
and in order to process these, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of shader programs that run anytime you play any kind of game now, right?
Okay.
So there are literally thousands of pipelines, thousands of little things that can run these programs at the same time inside GPUs. Conversely, inside a CPU, you have – like in a quad-core CPU, it can do basically 4 to 8 things at a time depending on what kind of CPU you have and how things are set up and all that. If you look at like a Radeon 5800, it can do 1,600 things at a time, but they're much less complex things.
Is that a CPU?
The Radeon 5870 is a GPU. It's a video card.
Okay.
So what you're looking at is relatively simple but massively parallel versus complex and relatively less parallel.
Linear.
Thank you. Does that – so basically if you can break down the tasks that you want to do into these little chunks that will work on the relatively weak shader processors, then you can take advantage of the massively parallel nature of a video card. I'm holding my arms out really wide to do 1,600 of these little things at once versus doing 1,600 little things through a CPU one after the other, which will take a lot longer.
CPU is the triangles.
CPU is the processor in the
I know what a CPU, but what's the difference between the triangles and the shader programs?
This shader that was just getting to where
God
that was just
it.
Explaining what the shader programs
were. I mean,
were.
I know what the difference is. I had a really good
honest diagram has kind of collapsed at the
it
bottom
almost
of the page.
Fell apart. It's
hard to do
good.
Infographics.
I followed you all the way to GPU pipeline, but then I lost track of what.
What's
you were
that thing at the bottom there?
That's the grass.
Oh, okay. That's the wavy
grass. The dirt. This really makes sense to me. I can explain to somebody up to the part where you get to shader programs and then all the GPU, all the pipelines on a GPU card, which explains.
Norm has his hand raised. Norm, you have the floor.
Okay. Yeah. So the shader programs are compared to what a CPU does for like Windows and Windows applications are relatively simple because it's just triangles and numbers for graphics, right?
Okay.
So that's why. But that's why when NVIDIA designs your graphics card, they have the chip do – the reason they do massively parallel is because you don't need to do complex calculations. You're doing relatively simple calculations on a big scale.
Because there's millions and millions of pixels on the screen.
Right? As opposed to on a CPU where you do very complex calculations but 4 at a time on a quad-core CPU, linearly.
Okay.
So the point of CUDA – is that because you're spending so much money on a video card, NVIDIA wants you to make more use of your video card, of this massive parallelism.
Not just when you're playing games.
Not when you're playing games, for stuff like transcoding video, because video is something that can take advantage of massively parallel processing.
Oh.
And also Jerry stuff like glazed. Simple calculations done on a big scale. Okay. Stuff like protein calculations, right? For you know,
that sounds like genetic
for
engineering.
Folding.
So GPUs, while originally created just to kind of take the graphics workload off the CPU and do it itself, is now pitching back in and helping out the CPU.
Yes, well, that's for certain specific workloads.
So CUDA is the programming language for people to create
Windows. It's NVIDIA's programming language.
NVIDIA's programming language for people to create desktop applications to take advantage of the GPU, but you need an NVIDIA card. And that was the problem with CUDA because not everyone – and they would they say, you know, 250 million people have NVIDIA cards with CUDA support.
Yeah.
You know, why don't developers develop more programs using CUDA?
Yeah.
Which turns another out 1 billion people don't.
People – right. There's no market in that.
Right.
So the announcement is that now they're saying they – adapted, they're going to adapt CUDA, the language, so that it will also run on Intel CPUs, albeit not at the massively parallel scale. You're just using the linear whatever capabilities of your CPU.
Cool.
But that's the
benefit. But at least it'll work.
It's just a way to get more power out of the stuff you already have in your machine, you know, when you're not playing a game, so that it can work your system. Yeah. Right.
And a lot of researchers use
these.
It's like
Firefox add-ons. It is like Firefox add-ons.
Inception!
Inception.
I feel like we got to stop using that joke, like, too. We're running out of the ground.
Even in the best case scenario, when you add up all the millions of microseconds of efficiency and productivity that this technology could theoretically give me back,
yes,
is never going to equal the time I spent sitting in here trying to understand it. Like, I'm in the hole to about 15 minutes right now. I don't think I'm ever going to get 15 minutes of increased CPU time out of my PC. What?
Do you rip DVDs?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Shut down.
Do you have a camera that shoots RAW?
What is that? Okay. Some kind of porn?
No. Okay, it's been a great show this week for Norman Chan, Gary Whitta, and Ana Herker Robles. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have to stop now.
Oh, really?
Thanks
for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
I felt so relieved.
Okay, it's been a great show for Norman Chan, Gary Whitta, Ana Herker Robles. I'm Will Smith. Thanks for listening. I'm playing the music now.
Hi there. I didn't see you.
That's it.
Awesome. Sometimes we do stuff that's just dumb and
stupid. Do we need to do outtakes, or was the whole show outtakes?
Before the show, there were outtakes.
The whole.
Well, they may not have been recorded.
That entire GPU conversation should be the outtake. Bonus feature.
Aren't outtakes just things that you naturally like? Do people really sit around?
I don't edit outtakes? The show anymore, though. I did outtakes before when we didn't record the show, like when I would go through and like. Condense. Now I just play the music during the show, and I just fucking post it.
But he still wants
whatever
outtakes.
You want, dude.
People want out. We're good now. We have them. We're covered.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just made an outtake just then.
Oh, okay. I see.
Thanks, Gary.